Beam, and I'm the co-host of Top Story on 1310 AM, as well as the author of Comfort Food Gets a Vegan Makeover. And I'm happy to talk to Rabbi Saul Solomon on Days Gone By on UNC Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. God damn it, this is Rabbi Saul Solomon, the founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I am always excited to be on the Dave's Gone By radio program, especially when I get to interview an interesting and funny and fascinating guest. And today is no exception, where I have a little scheme for you. And no, it's not because I'm Jewish and Jewish people tend to have schemes. No, this is an S-K-E-E-M scheme, and it's a lady. It's a lady who is both an author, or perhaps I should say authoress, and she is on the radio, just like me. She is a personality on Fox affiliate 1310 KLIX in, what is it, Idaho or Iowa? Where the hell is Idaho? The potato place.
South Idaho.
Where, Idaho?
Twin Falls, Idaho.
Twin Falls, Idaho. What a goyish place. Which is amazing because this radio station is a conservative talk radio Fox affiliate thing. However, Jill's scheme apparently is a Jewish, liberal, Democrat, vegan. First of all, welcome, shalom, Jill.
Thank you. Shalom, Rabbi.
And shalom to you. And all right, so tell me, how the hell will you manage, did you get to be a daytime radio personality on a radio station that is conservative, etc.?
Well, it's interesting. I actually was from out east, lived in Boston and Philadelphia, and I met my husband who's from Idaho out there, and that's why I'm here in the first place. But I'm a Rotarian, and I'm in charge of the fundraiser, so I used to do the interviews to promote the fundraisers. And one day, the program manager of the radio station said, you know, Joe, you always do such a great job with the interviews for Rotary. Have you ever considered doing a radio show? And I said, no, that sounds like fun. So he asked if I would come in because the other co-host was leaving, and I'd never listened to the show before because it's 13 a.m., it's all conservative. Rush Limbaugh follows our show. I always listen to NPR, being a Democrat.
Right on.
But, you know, so I went on, and I tried it out for a week, and I swear they only did softball topics. Because my official first day, they got into the topic of registering your guns, and I said, well, you know, you register your cars, why not your guns? And the next hour and a half, the phones lit up. I left schwitzing, and I thought, what did I get myself into? And that's how it started, and I've been doing it 4.5 years now. And people were just crazy when I first started. I mean, they'd call in, I'd make their eyes bleed. They didn't even know what a Jew was, Rabbi.
I believe it was.
They'd ask me if I was Christian. I said, no, I'm Jewish. And they said, but you're still a Christian, right?
Oh, you've got to be kidding. You've
not,
got
I
to
thought,
be.
I'm in Idaho. So, that's the responses I get.
No, there are so many questions already in my mind. See, I happen to know what a Jew is. I was unclear on this point, but I read the Talmud a little bit. Now I'm a little bit clearer. But I have no clue what the hell a Rotarian is. Is it someone who uses circular logic? What is a Rotarian?
Actually, it's a service organization. It's been around since 1905. So they raise money for local charities in the community and internationally. They have 1.2 Rotarians in the world. 1.2 million Rotarians in the world.
But how does this differ from, say, the Masons or the Eastern Star or the Jihadists? How are you different?
Well, the Jihadists probably have a different agenda, but it's like the Kiwanians and the Optimists. It's just a service, or the Lions, it's a service organization. Yeah.
That's good.
So we all do fundraisers, we raise money for charity, and that's what I was in charge of, was fundraising. So I would do radio interviews to help promote the fundraisers, and that's how I got into this job, honestly. I had no idea what the station was about.
And let us remind everybody that you're on this radio station, but I believe they can listen on the internet. What's the station's .com?
You can go to newsradio1310.com, and click on Top Story. I'm one of the co-hosts with my partner, Kelly Klass, and he's the conservative on the radio, and I'm the liberal. And so it gets very interesting because our audience, you know, after our program is Rush Limbaugh, then Sean Hannity, then Glenn Beck. So we are just sort of the warm-up for the day for them, and these people have never heard an opposite point of view in their life. So when I came on, they were just apoplectic, honestly.
What about your co-host Kelly? In other words, is it like a Mike and the Mad Dog thing, or do you actually pal around, go to lunch, do you get along off the air?
Yeah, we get along off the air, which is fine. But honestly, he thinks a lot differently than I do. So our discussions back and forth are very legitimate, to be honest with you.
Well, can I ask, have you ever changed his mind on something, and has he ever changed your mind on something?
That's a tough one. He might have agreed with me on a few points, and I might have with him, but it's not very often, to be honest. It's a little crazy.
So, obviously, then, he's anti-gun control, right?
Oh, my gosh. He brags about how he has a gun in his car, and he's, oh, my gosh. All of them are anti-gun control. It's crazy.
And what is their logic? Their logic is just it's America, and if the British decide to try and storm us again, they need to be ready. What? Why?
Our Second Amendment rights, Rabbi. We should be able to carry a gun anywhere, anyhow, and we should be able to carry any kind of gun we want. There should be no limits because it's violating the Second Amendment.
And your counter to that is?
I think, you know, just like freedom of speech, you can't yell fire in a theater. I think you can have some control on it. I think that the founding fathers didn't envision, you know, military-style guns in our society. I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't have universal background checks. I don't think there's any reason why we can't limit some of the arms that are on the streets. And I think you can have your guns, but I think you can have limitations as well.
That is a good point. It didn't occur to me that back in, 1770, 1780, they were carrying muskets.
Right.
They weren't like 16-millimeter repeating rounds of anything. It was you know, you fired at somebody 2 feet away, and the bullet would lodge in a roof. That's what they were firing with back then.
Right, and now, yeah, some people are like bazookas. It's crazy.
All right, that's one topic that you deal with, I'm sure. Do you get into the, if you look at what happened in Texas a week or two ago, do you get into the abortion debate?
Oh, of course we do, Rabbi.
Are you on the...
These are the shows that make me sweat and go immediately to the gym afterwards. It's tough.
Well, I will say, and I came out last week. I mean, I've been like this all the time, but last week I came out in my weekly rabbinical reflection as being incredibly pro-abortion. I think abortion should even be retroactive. If you have a 2-year-old who is really annoying, you should devein him like a shrimp. I think that's a good thing to do. But
I think some people do have some regrets. I'm actually pro-choice. It's not my decision to make for someone else.
That is, you know, it's the old line. If you're anti-abortion, if you do not believe in abortion, don't have one.
Right, exactly.
How do you argue this with Kelly and the phone callers when they say, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, blah, 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 the Bible?
Well, they also always call in and talk about get the government out of my life. So I said, if you really want smaller government, then the government should not be able to force a transvaginal ultrasound on a woman against her will, should not be able to force her to do anything. And to me, it's a matter of choice and to make a method safe. My dad used to be an OBGYN, and he delivered many people. My argument is, why don't we join forces and try to prevent the pregnancy in the first place? Don't eliminate Planned Parenthood. Don't eliminate access to Plan B. Let's try to prevent pregnancies and unwanted pregnancies in the first place, then you don't have to have an abortion.
All right, but going back even to what you were saying about the government and people's lives, when you counter to conservatives with their own argument of saying, look, you know, if you don't want the government in your life, how come you want the government monitoring women's bellies? What do they say back?
Well, it's interesting because that came came up in Idaho. They were trying to force the transvaginal ultrasound on women in Idaho. It was last legislative session a year ago. And they would call in, and I said, don't call in about smaller government if you think this is okay. And interestingly enough, they called the governor's office and said this is not right. It sort of goes to that libertarian mindset. It's hypocritical. And I think they realized, and the Idaho legislature had to back down. So I was surprised because I said, you're a hypocrite if you're telling me you want smaller government, but you're forcing me to have a transvaginal ultrasound. And between you and me, Rabbi, I know you probably haven't had one. I've had one. Those are not pleasant.
Oh, no, no. Please, I've had the speculum up there, and I got a bad doctor because he's like, after 20 minutes, you know, I can't find your vagina. I was like, I'm a man, you asshole. And I changed doctors immediately.
It's true. So those things. So actually, on that one, I was kind of I showed them their hypocrisy, and they stuck with it, and they did back down. Which
oh, nice.
Yeah, that was a good victory.
Now moving into a more general sense of politics. By the way, we're talking with Jill Scheme. She is on 1310 KLIX in Idaho. She's also an author of a cookbook. We'll get to that in a moment. But to be honest, that's a lot less interesting to me because I love talking radio and politics. So, Jill, what is the thing? Why did the conservatives despise our president, Barack Obama, from, like, the second he was elected? They didn't even give him a chance to be a disappointment. They hated him from day half. Why?
I honestly, and we've heard it on our show, I think a lot has to do with the fact that he's African-American. I really do.
It really is.
We had people call in and say that. And when I was campaigning for Barack Obama in Idaho, if you can imagine that, no one was at the Democratic headquarters. honestly, it's like, why do you have one? But when you make calls to people, they would literally say to me on the phone, I'm not voting for a black man. Like, it was shocking to me. Shocking. I think that's part of it, and I think part of it is, you know, they wanted their guy to win. And,
well, all right,
it's one thing
your guy to win. Okay, sure, we all want our guy to win,
yeah.
But just to be out there with, like, man, so you really think that a good chunk of the unspoken anti-Obama thing really still is down-home racism?
Wow. Oh, yeah, I really do. And if I was out east where I used to live, I wouldn't have thought that. Obviously, you think, oh, no, we've gone beyond that. But when you live in a state like Idaho, where it's not as diverse as other... I mean, honestly, when I first moved here, people would talk about the one black teacher in Buell, Idaho that they all remembered. Can you imagine? Like, no, we have a black teacher.
Oh, yeah, he smelled terrible when we lynched him. Oh, my God, the fire was burning his skin. It stank for a week. Oh, it was terrible.
I honestly, yeah, it's true, but I honestly think that's really a part of it, whether they admit it or not. I think that was...
But to be fair, these people also despised Bill Clinton, who was white, and you know, as white can be, Arkansas white trash. I mean, so to be fair, they also despised him. He was not black. So I thought also it might be a carryover of they see him as Clinton, too.
That's true. But I think, honestly, Republicans cannot handle defeat. I can't. I think they're really crybabies. I do. You hear it all the time. If that were a Republican, they wouldn't have, you know, come on, get over it. And that's the part of the issue. They cannot stand losing. They had George Bush in there for 8 years. He almost destroyed the country, the world financial system. And they'll call in and say, well, he did a few things that weren't right.
Because I'm wondering, that's the thing. How do they defend the 8 years of Bush, Cheney, well, I guess they blamed it all on Condoleezza because she was a schmatz. Maybe that was it. They thought Bush was okay, Rumsfeld fine, Cheney, they're great, but the schmatz ruined it. Maybe that's what they think.
Yeah, maybe. It was a schmatz. I think, honestly, they give him a pass. Say, well, he didn't do everything right. Honestly, everything right. He almost brought an entire world collapse. And they aren't realistic about it. They also blame Clinton, like what poor George Bush inherited. It's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Inheriting a surplus, yeah. For crying out loud. God damn it. Wait a minute, but let's, you know, your co-host, you're with him every day for 4 years, you know his thoughts. So I assume he's an intelligent person. What does he say regarding the Bush years and what Obama inherited?
He sort of said, says the same thing. They're delusional. They're delusional. They think that anything Obama did was good because of George Bush, and anything George Bush did that was bad, it was Clinton's fault. It's really a crazy kind of thing. They're not realistic. They don't think the economy is getting better right now. I mean, they just listen to the same talking points of pundits that are paid to say those things.
I'm flabbergasted, but I guess I shouldn't be shocked at this point.
You need to listen to the show someday, Rabbi. It's crazy.
No, it'll make me schwitz, because I'll listen to you, and I'll smile, and I'll go, yes, she makes sense. Oh, good, she's a smart, nice Jewish girl. She's liberal. And then I'll hear your co-host, and I'll want to put my foot through the wall.
I have family that listens, you know, around the country. I have cousins in New Jersey and this and that. And they will text me during the show going, oh, my gosh, how are you doing this? You know?
But it's entertainment also. I mean, be honest. If you both agreed, that's why Air America never happened on the radio or in the way that it could have. Because people listen to Janine Garofalo, and they listen to Al Franken, nice Jewish boy, and then to whoever else they had on there. And, like, I agree. You know, and that was it.
Yeah, it's interesting because the co-host I replaced, he was a conservative also. So they basically said, I agree to each other. And then when I came on, honestly, you know, I think people enjoy the other side. Some people say, they'll call in and say, 99.9% of the time, I never agree with you. But this 1%, 0.1%, I do today. You know, it's like, okay.
That's fine. And again,
I got down to 1.1%. There you go.
Fox News always points to its ratings as saying, look, everybody's watching us. And maybe they don't care that half the people are watching them, just wondering, how are they going to spin this? How are they going to turn this into their bullshit?
I know, and their demographic, they came out, I think their demographic average age is over 65.
Oh, well, there's a lot,
there
that's a
go.
Growing demographic, you know, there's a lot of people who are over 65.
Yes.
Nothing else, they don't have jobs, so they got nothing better to do than eat oatmeal and listen to the radio or watch TV. There you are. Speaking of eating, how's this for a segue? Speaking of eating, Jill Scheme, you are not just a Jewess and a Democratess and a liberaless and a radio hostess. You are also a cookess.
Yes.
And an authoress. Please tell us how you got into writing about food, and specifically vegetarian kind of food.
Well, Rabbi, when I met my husband, I actually used to be a paralegal for many, many years. I worked for Reebok at one time in their legal department, and I literally took a $10 lecture on Intro to Asian Diagnosis, which looks at your face and hands, and you can see what's going on inside your body. So I started studying macrobiotics, which is a grain and vegetable-based diet and a lifestyle. So I was in Philadelphia studying this when I met my husband, who's from Idaho. So I moved out here. I became a macrobiotic health counselor, tried to help people with healthy eating, healthy cooking.
Well, did you have any medical or weight issues that led you to take that class in the first place, or was it just everything fine, normal, you were just curious?
Everything fine. Just some friend just said to me, she didn't even tell me much. She just said, oh, my boyfriend's going to teach a lecture on Intro to Asian Diagnosis. And I originally gone to school to be a doctor, but I changed courses, obviously, and my dad was a doctor. So I thought, well, that sounds interesting. And it was taught by a macrobiotic health counselor, Warren Kramer. And that's how I got into it. So it's very unusual that I didn't have a health issue. A lot of people get into macrobiotics. It's known as the cancer diet.
Right, yeah.
But I started studying food, and it made sense, and how important it is in your life. And coming out here, people did want to eat healthier, but they might not have wanted to be macrobiotic or whatever. So I came up with this cookbook, Comfort Food Gets a Vegan Makeover, because people still wanted to eat the foods they wanted to eat, and I thought, well, why not just make them in a healthier way? So I have lasagna, I've got shepherd's pie, I've got Where's the Beef Chili.
Oh, and now do you use those crumbly things like tofu and seitan and I'm a rabbi and I just mentioned Satan. Oh no, but seriously, or do you avoid those and use like real food?
Well, I do use a lot of real food, but some of the recipes recipes do have tofu. Some have seitan. But I don't use the over-processed, like I don't do the soy crumbles and I don't do tofu hot dogs and things like that. I'll use tofu in the whole form and then prepare it into something else. Because you're right, Rabbi, it's so important to eat real food.
Now, I'm too lazy to Google, so please remind me and then let our viewers know, what is the difference between vegan and vegetarian and vaginosis? What are these different terms?
Vaginosis, you probably should go to your OBGYN.
Okay.
Vegan and vegetarian. If you're vegan, you do not eat animal products.
Uh-huh.
You don't eat cheese, you don't eat butter, you don't eat a lot of things. If you're vegetarian, they will eat products like that. They might not eat fish, chicken, or beef, but they'll eat other things. So I figured if I did my cookbook that was more restrictive, people could add cheese to some of these recipes or other things they wanted to, as opposed to taking it out. Some people see, oh, it's got cheese in it, and it stops them right there.
Oh.
So that's why I did the cookbook the way I did.
Now,
and it's a very easy cookbook. It's a hardback. It's got colored pictures. It lays flat, which is really important. And it's so easy, Rabbi. My husband's been cooking from it. I should have done this 10 years ago.
Mazel. Well, wait, there are two different things. First of all, I want to mention, by the way, that this book, Comfort Food Gets a Vegan Makeover, is available from Amazon.com. And if you look on Amazon, the book has 24 reviews, all of them, every single one of them, 5 stars. I can only think it's either a great book or you got a big family. But that's, you never see, Moby Dick doesn't get 5 stars from everybody.
I know, I really appreciate you looking that up. Yes, I was so pleased. People that have gotten my book have loved it. And a lot of those comments, people say, you know, I'm not vegan, but these recipes are very easy and simple and just healthy. So it's been, I've been really pleased with it. It's getting people to start cooking.
Now you say that your husband is using the book, making the recipes. Is he on board with your lifestyle, or is he an omnivore?
No, actually, I met him at one of the programs at the macrobiotic school I was studying at. He came out from Idaho to a program because his sister sort of forced him to. So when he signed up for the program, he said, you know, I'm just doing this because my sister wanted me to. And when he came out, we ended up meeting, and yada, 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 Rabbi, I'm in Idaho.
No, I'm not talking, I'm saying, but does he eat occasionally hamburgers?
Yeah.
Does he eat normal, you know, French fry? Well, you can eat a French fry because it's potato, but can you, does he eat veal? Does he eat anything?
No, he likes the lifestyle, he loves the food, and more importantly, he married someone who knows how to cook. So he's happy with it. Once he came out to the program, he learned about it and liked the food and met me, and then he thought, you know what, maybe I'll marry a macrobiotic chef. That will help.
So let me ask, how long have you been married?
We just had our 7th wedding anniversary.
Mazel McGlick! Yay! I don't know what that is. Not paper. It's not. I don't know what the anniversary of number 7.
I don't know what that one is either.
Paradise or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
What does
but
he
it's
do?
It's kind of funny. Like when you think of all states, you know, Idaho being Jewish, a Democrat, and a vegetarian in Idaho, you're like, wow, he couldn't have been from a better state, you know? That's a natural fit for me here, Rabbi.
By the way, what does your husband do?
He has his own business, and he does, he automates driveway gates for businesses and commercial business.
Interesting. He automates driveway. I never thought there would be a business in that, but I guess there are. It's like a garage opening thing, right? Sort of?
No, not the garage openers, but, you know, we're 70 miles from Sun Valley. They have huge homes there, and they want gates to keep the riffraff out, so he does gates. That way they'll design them, they build them, and then they automate them.
These are gates to keep away people who look like the president, basically.
Probably. I'd have to say, I think so.
Now, we're talking with Jill Scheme. I have another couple of minutes with her. And let's get back to politics. Let's go, because I don't get to do this that often.
Okay.
On the radio program. And since you are so used to talking to this day by day by day, so I'm sure you have very set opinions, and also you know what your listeners are about it. So, first of all, the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing. Do they come down overwhelmingly on the side of, oh, well, you know, Schwarzer was in the wrong place, deserved to get killed?
Yes, yes. George Zimmerman was defending himself, and so Trayvon, he had every right to shoot Trayvon. And when I brought up But didn't Trayvon Martin have the right to defend himself? He's just turned 17, a guy twice his age is following him in the night. If he was a girl, would he not think that this guy might be, you know, going to abduct him or sexually molest him? Did he not have the right to defend himself? And they say that he started the fight and he had George Zimmerman had every right to shoot Trayvon.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a wow, that's for sure.
I mean, I understand. I mean, there's one thing I would say about the law itself, and if I was on the jury and I got the rules of the law of at the moment when Zimmerman fired, it is very possible that legally he was not committing murder. But all the rest of it, for God's sakes, I mean, the whole thing was a terrible, stupid mess. And then Zimmerman should be accountable for something.
I thought he should have gotten manslaughter, at the very least, manslaughter. You don't mean to kill someone. He didn't institute the stand your ground defense. So why did the jury say it was okay for him to self-defend himself? I don't know.
And what about also on a somewhat lighter, more amusing topic, and I don't know why this goes beyond New York, but it's national news.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about Zimmerman. I'm talking about Anthony Weiner.
I knew you were going there, Rabbi.
Yeah. So... What do they think? First of all, what do these Idaho people think about the fact that Weiner is so obviously Jewish? Do you detect anti-Semitic undertones in some of the things they're saying?
I think they just don't understand what a Jew is. Honestly, I was the first Jew my husband ever met. And like I said, the callers would call in and say, you're a Christian, right? And I said, no, I'm Jewish. But yeah, you're still a Christian. They don't understand Judaism. We don't have a temple. We have 6 Jews in town. We get together and call ourselves the Jew crew. And so I don't think they understand. Some people call in and say, why don't you like Jesus Christ? I'm like, I do like Jesus Christ. He was a nice Jewish boy. So, I just don't think they understand what it is. You know, we have a huge Mormon population out here. And... There aren't a lot of Jews. What can I tell you?
My God.
No, if it's anti-Semitism, but my co-host did use a phrase on the air once, and he could not believe it was considered derogatory.
Did he say he Jewed somebody down?
Yeah. I said, don't ever say that to me again. Mm-hmm.
He said that on the air. Wow.
And he goes, what did I say? And I said, I'm not even going to repeat it. I'm not even going to repeat it. And so people out here will use that phrase, and they have no idea it was based in some kind of discrimination.
How many times have we all said, I got gypped? And to be gypped, it comes from the word gypsy. So if you see a gypsy, that's not a very nice thing for them. I'll say it anyway, so I guess I can't get too mad when someone says they Jewed somebody down. But
it's just surprising, because they just think it's a phrase. Like, doesn't everyone say that? I'm like,
No, we don't. Oh, my God, these assholes. But let me ask you a quick... But we didn't actually get to the whole the weenie roast. What are their thoughts on Anthony Weiner?
It's funny, because we were talking about it today on the show, as a matter of fact, because some people don't think it's cheating. You know, I've heard that on some of the TV shows, and so we were talking about that. They think he's sick, he should drop out of the race. And I personally think he should let the voters decide. Who cares? Let them vote him out,
Well, as a voter yourself, would you hold it against him, no pun intended, of what he's doing? Or would you say, no, it has nothing to do with his actual work performance and what he has to do for his job. What he does in his private life is no big deal.
See, to me, I think he has a sexual problem, like some kind of, it was an addiction or something. I'm glad he's gone to therapy. I actually had a cousin who had some kind of a sexual problem like that, where it came out not in that form, but you can get addicted to pornography or whatever. So I have a little bit of empathy. If he said he hasn't done it in a year, maybe he's gotten help. And I think he had a serious problem. It's like an alcoholic, and he probably fell off the wagon, so to speak, last year.
Right.
Or
his pants fell off the wagon.
I have a little more compassion that maybe that's what happened, but I also think that if he doesn't want to drop out of the race, just let the voters, either vote him in or vote him out. Look at Marion Barry. That guy got reelected after crack and hookers.
Well, that's just the Schwarzes. Let's be honest. Oh, I'm kidding. No, but you know, how the world, I always think how America might have been different had Jerry Brown been president like 30 years ago. And why do you think? Because he was having an affair, or was it with Linda Ronstadt, whatever it was.
Right, right.
But who cared what he was doing with the girl? He could have been a good president. We don't know. And instead we get what? We get Nixon, we get Ford, we get, you know, all of this. So,
right.
But in other words, yes, knowing that he has a problem, would you, if he were doing a good job otherwise as the governor, mayor, whatever it is, would you vote for him?
A good platform, and I felt he could do it, and I thought he was under control and got that beyond in his life, because we all know George Bush had an alcohol problem. He had DUIs. You know, I might give him a chance. I think the problem was New Yorkers were going to give him a second chance, and then this came out, and they're like, what? But you said you would stop doing it. You know, if he had the second chance, I would have, you know.
Right, but not a third chance.
I'm not so sure. I'm sort of glad I don't live in New York. But I would sort of want the woman to be the governor. You know, why not have a woman in office? You don't hear too many sex scandals with women, do you, Rabbi?
No, well, because one month out of the thing, they're on the rag, so they can't be having sex anyway, right? And then the other 2 weeks out of the month, they're bitchy and they're annoying, so no man is going to go near them. So you have one basic week where women are tolerable.
I actually used to think, you got one good week in your life. You don't have PMS. You're not there. Yeah, I agree with you, honestly. One good week where you feel good. I don't think that really affects their governing, but I would like to see a woman, you know, I'd like to see Hillary in the White House.
Hey, we never know. As long as she's healthy, yeah, that's a very good possibility.
These people out here would be apoplectic.
That's right. They would.
And Hillary.
Well, you have to understand that this radio program, Dave's Gone By,
yes,
comes out of a place called Greeley, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you been reading about Colorado?
I have.
The whole northern half of the state. What? Sorry?
You guys have legalized pot.
Well yes, okay, great. I'm sure your listeners would be apoplectic about that. But there's also a movement in the northern part of the state to turn into its own state separate from the rest of Colorado. Have you heard about
this?
Yeah. Because they're angry about the taxes, and they're angry that there's a Democratic governor, so they want there to be a new state of northern Colorado. It's the most hysterical thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I used to
live in Texas after college. They don't like Coloradoans too much. Did you know that?
No, why? No, they're the same thing. Why don't Texas like Colorado?
There used to be a joke, like, what's a Texan and a Coloradoan called? They're like, call them Kotex.
Oh, all right, that's kind of, that's a nice absorbent joke right there. Anywho, we have been talking with...
Honestly, they don't like you guys either. I don't know why. Probably because they're very conservative and you guys are a little bit more upcoming and, you know.
You know why? Because we have chutzpah.
That's what we got.
Chutzpah. Now, we're going to close our conversation with Jill Skeeb, but is there anything more annoying in the world than when you hear the goyim mispronounce or try to pronounce Yiddish and Jewish words?
It is so annoying, and when we were closing our show, we always have the Huckabee report. So Mike Huckabee had the chutzpah to call it chutzpah.
Chutzpah? What the hell? It's like if Hooters and Jack LaLanne got together, they would open a chutzpah. And it's not a word.
I know. It drives me nuts, and I made my comments after the Huckabee report. Don't go there if you don't know how to pronounce it. Right, Rabbi? Don't go there.
That's right. But you know where people should go? They should go on Amazon.com to get your book. Or they can they buy it from your website, too?
They can go to my website, JillSkeem.com as well. But Comfort Food Gets a Vegan Makeover, or they can tune into our radio show, NewsRadio1310.com. Call in and say hi.
Call in and say hi to Jill Skeem. Jill, or I'll pronounce it the Hebrew way, Chil. By the way, what is your Hebrew name?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I think my parents are sort of up on that because of the J and the I. They've always sort of, they can't remember, they told me.
Well, I'll call you Hill Schemowitz. How's that?
I like that. I like that.
Hill Schemowitz, it's been a delight and a joy to have you in the neighborhood. Thank you. Best of luck with your cooking, your food, your books, and your radio career. Thank you for being with us.
Rabbi, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure talking to you.